wall of turbolaser strikes erupted ahead, momentarily concealing the gray nugget of Nickel One behind a curtain of boiling color. Jaina's heart raced, as it always did when she was forced to sit idle during the opening stages of a battle. But she calmed herself by remembering that her uncle's attack plan was as good as it was simple. The blast boats would strike at the remnant star destroyer Harbinger. When the enemy sent its starfighters to engage them, the Jedi stealth X's would slip in and destroy the loading docks. During the confusion, Jaina would drop onto the asteroid, sneak inside, and hunt down her brother. Simple, uncomplicated, straightforward. Except for the fact that unescorted runs at Star Destroyers were suicide missions, and the blast boat certainly wouldn't be receiving any help from Verpine Stingers. Jaina didn't understand why her uncle had insisted on leaving the O'Wools behind, or why he had been so mysterious about his reasons. The blast boat began to shudder rhythmically as Jaina's mother and Saba Sepetine opened up with the laser cannons. Luke's hands flew over the defense systems console, adjusting shields and deploying countermeasures. R2-D2 was plugged into the comm system behind him, monitoring squadron communications and coordinating with other astromechs to avoid duplicating attacks. C-3PO sat in the co-pilot seat, struggling to filter the blast static out of the sensors. Han Solo, of course, was in the pilot seat, doing what he did best, dodging Imperial turbolaser fire. Only Jaina, kneeling on the deck at the back of the blast boat's cramped passenger cabin, was not involved. Trapped in a bulky drop suit that was as much a weapon system as it was protection against the cold vacuum of space, she could do nothing but wait. Tiny blue tongues of ion efflux began to pour out from the thin shell of remnant capital ships surrounding the asteroid. Even with its fleet spread across the entire asteroid belt and the GA's 4th Fleet escorting its munitions convoys, the remnant was being careful to keep Nickel One well defended.
"Stay awake back there," her father called. "We've got Star Hunters coming."
A cluck of reptilian delight sounded through the floor grate covering the belly turret. The remnant Star Hunter was the modern version of the classic TIE Interceptor, with shields and heavy armament that made it far more dangerous than its predecessor. To a Barabel, of course, that only meant it was more fun to kill.
"It's hardly something to celebrate, Master Sepetine. Our escorts haven't arrived yet. May I suggest we postpone our attack run?" "I will not be quiet. I'm the sensor officer. It's my duty to report malfunctions in the plan."
"Thank you, 3PO, but the plan hasn't malfunctioned," Luke said. "Our escorts are here. They've been waiting for quite some time." Jaina lifted her brow at this news, but did not dare expand her force awareness to see if she was right. A message flashed across the pilot's display.
"Who?"
Han slammed the yoke hard to port.
"Are you kidding?" "All right, just asking," Han said defensively. "Put him on the speaker."
A moment later, the familiar voice of Boba Fett filled the blast boat cabin.
"Are you Barvy? What happened to your escort?"
Han scowled and said to Fett,
We thought you guys might want to volunteer, I guess."
Now it was Fett's turn to be surprised.
"Solo, last I heard you were on Coruscant with..."
"You hear a lot of things you shouldn't, Fett," Luke interrupted. "Very soon I'm going to be interested in learning how that happens."
"I could say the same, but I already found those bugs Jaina left at Bavine's farm."
"If you found them, they weren't Jaina's," Luke replied smoothly. "In the meantime, we're kind of busy here, and I'd rather you didn't get in the way." Jaina was surprised that the conversation was still being held over a hailing channel, which meant that remnant eavesdroppers would be listening to every word and matching voice prints to records in their intelligence files.
"So that's the way it is. Either we cover your run, or we watch those Star Hunters blast your skippers apart before they ever get close to the target."
"There are no free rides, Mandalore. You know that." Luke paused there, leaving unspoken a threat that only he and Fett seemed to comprehend, and Jaina slowly beginning to realize why her uncle was holding this conversation on an unscrambled channel. He wanted her brother to know who was up here, to know that Luke Skywalker and Boba Fett were teaming up to come after him.
"We're in. Tell your gunners not to shoot anything dark, fast, and pretty."
R2-D2 opened an encrypted channel to Fett's fighter and set up a tactical comm net that would allow the Mandalorians and blast boats to coordinate with each other.
Dozens of charcoal-gray wedges began to slide into position around the squadron, tipping the odds a bit back toward the raiders. Within a few moments, they were all dodging through the barrage together. Once their own blast boat had settled into a comfortable rhythm with its Besselik escorts, Janus said, "You guys aren't doing this!" No one was rude enough to pretend they didn't know what she was talking about. Her father simply glanced at her reflection in the canopy and said,
"Kinda late to change your mind, sweetie."
"I'm not changing my mind." Jaina pulled at the front collar of her drop suit, holding it away from her neck in the hope of getting a little extra ventilation. "I just didn't sign on to make a decoy of my whole family."